Cumming, as you may know, that Cumming goes in on the plants down practically, providing they have a certain number of workers in his area. So I went in, and of course I wasn't assigned my own job, it wasn't running. So I take any job that I was told to do. And I had cleaned up that disposal yard. Of course, by the time I got in, the body was taken out and all the evidence and everything. But that was the first time that disposal was really cleared. Young student from Bay City.
From Bay City?
Mm-hmm.
Approximately when did this happen?
Oh, heck. I know it was, I think it was after the war.
Oh, after the war.
Not too far after. But those are a few of the types of accidents they had over there.
Well, they're, the way you talk about it, sounds like they were quite numerous. Did management do too much?
Well, there's four in one instance, there were four guys who got killed in the explosion. See, the sea coal was seeping through the, from the overhead, and as soon as sea coal hits that molten metal, the air must have been full of sea coal. An explosion, the four guys on the pouring line, they were killed. One guy lingered on as a spur, the guy I was telling you about, that we had a grievance on him. So where the oars came from, I don't know. But they did away with sea coal. They found some other stuff, a substitute of some kind. And but I kept in my mind that the number of accidents and the number of years I've worked there, I would say for the first 20 years, averaged one a year. But they probably haven't had one for quite a while. They had one here last year, or this year, I believe. A guy got in, what they call it. I worked the thing myself. I was always a little late of it. Transporter. He was a checker, I believe. He was going between a transporter, and whether he knew it was in motion or not, but he got crushed to death. That was just this year. But they are improving, naturally. But, you know, there's been a new safety law passed. You probably know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been aborted by the man up there, you know, the man that just got elected. He aborted that. They've got so many inspectors, to my knowledge, and they don't have near enough. And they won't talk to you any lots of times. We've been trying to get safety men to be allowed to go around with the safety inspector, or if there's unsafe conditions, they come and won't do anything about calling the safety inspector. But we haven't got too far, to my knowledge. We're always harping on it, but that's the way conditions are now. Oh, there's been a terrific improvement, undoubtedly, and same on pollution. That's been taken care of to some extent, witness what the malware has been putting out over the years. But you go by there yourself on some days, you could have a roll of
right.
Windows up.
Right.
Your plant is doing good, I understand.
Right, well, the old gun plant.
We're talking now. I'll talk to you later on about that. And I can't recall the rest of them, but I know it used to be a dangerous place to work at one time.
Did they force you to work in these conditions?
You could, since you got the union.
You couldn't, even with the union, you couldn't refuse them, right?
Oh, after we got the union, naturally, things improved right along, yes. But before that, you
That's
couldn't...
That's what
know.
I'm talking about, right?
For example, when cores were upset, you know what a core is, I believe.
Right.
And the old plant, the plant's been rebuilt, in manner of speaking. Those cores were dropped off of racks and transporters and everything, and the production was so fast that you didn't have time to sweep them up half the time, and you step on one of them the wrong way, you could break your darn fool neck. You know what I mean?
Right.
Of course, in syringa plants, they have hazards, undoubtedly, but not that type of a hazard.
No,
but they,
basically the foundry.
But now, when I left, the conditions were much improved. You know, they keep the gangways clear and so on and so on. They're always preaching safety anyway, so long as it doesn't cost too much money. But things like that. And rats. One time I worked out in the sand shed, mixing sand, and a place where the machines were mixing the sand, you know, I'd go out there with a big club. The flour was stacked out there, and I had to go into the sand. I took a big club out with me, because that place was overrun with rats. That's a fact. And prior to, as I said, remodeling the sand shed, coal room sand shed, mixing, they had an old red crane that lifted this up from the boxcars, you know, and up and over the top of the sand shed. And I was over on the outs with the boss, and he tried to put it to me. And that doggone bucket was swinging against the wall, and down bricks would come close to me all the time. For 30 years I fought with that boss. Oh, brother. Well, that was the type of conditions you had to contend with at that time. I'm not given to a line of bull, it's not my nature, but those are the actual facts. And in some cases, I'm putting it mildly.
But as you can see from working in the Retired Workers Council and people talking about conditions, can you see any conditions today that generally that should be improved?
That should be improved. Well, yes, a lot of it could be improved. For example, guys on total and permanent disability. There should be an improvement there, I believe.
What improvement, as far as total permanent disability, do you mean? To what extent? Because I know the term vaguely, and I have some experience.
You have to wait too long for your Social Security. You're getting total and permanent disability. I've been off the. I was taken off the pension committee, man. See, I was the first one to have them out from 50 to 55. And so I've been out of that for 17 years, so I'm not too conversant with the procedure or the setup. But conditions are so bad there that guys get emphysema, I know several of them. And then this lung disease, you know, silicosis. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have too many of those cases now. But I know at one time, speaking of a unit of ours, at Saginaw Bury, you know, across from Saginaw Foundry that burned down?
Right.
Well,
right.
The one on the other side of the street on Water Street, that is the Saginaw Bury. They had the worst instance of silicosis or pneumonicus, whatever you call it, in the country. Why I know that, I was in Franklin Delano Roosevelt camp several times. I helped open that and I helped close it in Port Huron. I don't know if you ever heard about it.
No, I haven't.
It's called the Franklin Delano. It belongs to the AFL-CIO. It wasn't strictly UAW. But I took one course there on safety, and we had a government man give us instructions. He used our instructions right from Washington. And he showed us a movie that was taken in that Saginaw Burning. And when they got through making their changes, that had the best incidence of fatalities, or not fatalities, but diseases. That very same plan was taken by the government and used as an example. They made all certain equipment, you know, because the fumes. As a matter of fact, my dad died from that same thing. It was lung disease. But that Saginaw Burning was the plant that they used for the government film in color. Molly came on, I recognized the plant and the owner because I'd been to the plant on various selection jaunts, you know, taking the vote and everything like that. So there's been a big improvement there. But there's times when it's for certain people it's hard to breathe in that mouthbone. When you consider the outside conditions that all the fumes down in the plant. Now, prior to the long strike, that roof was so doggone low, the smoke and fumes couldn't hardly get out. Well, during the strike, we allowed them, we went along with them on raising that roof, and now it's not too bad. By the time we go back to work, the roof was raised, and one night, when I was in the corps, we got through supper, we were standing in front of the corps officers, and the whistle blew, and we were just going back to work. We said, "Ah, good thing we did, because a big fan eye in the roof dropped right where we were standing. Somebody would have got killed." I imagine the steering gear, when they built the new plants, they must have provided for a lot of those hazards to
negate
them.
Yes, they do. Uh-huh. They have a lot of like high noises, with so much decibels you can't take. They just, I don't know if malleable has this now, but so many decibels an ear cannot take, which they you have to wear certain guards.
Yeah, it's kind of a
like an earmuff.
Like earmuff. Well, all we got, I got to set down the basement. A little thing you put in your ear, like you put this in. They were no good.
Hmm.
No, I won't short time, but. In fact, they were a hazard. As far as I was concerned, I was hard of hearing. If I was one of those going down the gangway and a truck came behind me, I wouldn't hear them. So I kept them out. But there has been a big improvement in safety hazards. I always preach safety myself. Matter of fact, I won the first $50 bond.
Is that right?
Plan for the year. A monthly, you got the best slogan for the month, you got a dinner on the cafeteria, and if you're second, you got a safety, green safety. I had a half dozen down the basement one time.
Just for curiosity's sake, now, the suggestions, did you have any malleable, did they have, how was their suggestion program?
Oh, suggestion program. I think they have a good plan there, but I wouldn't say a good plan because half the time they don't do justice to the guy's suggestion. The game they have from it, they're not paid for what it's worth. Cite an example. We had an old German in our department, and these molding machines used to oil them with a foot pump. So what he did, he got a pneumatic idea. We had a tank on back of the machine with hoses leading to the vital parts, and all you did was turn on your petcock, and that blew the oil in the places it was supposed to go in. That thing was worth $1 million, but he got very little out of it. Well, I chided him on it. In fact, I chided him in now, actually. Old gentleman, he was sharp too, he was smart. He said, "Well, the company looks after me." He says, "You know, I got the sighting in one eye." And I said, "Don't give a damn. You should be compensated for what you've done, given them." But he passed it on. Old Bob. He had a lot of real good ideas, but I don't think he ever got paid for them, what he was entitled to. Another little old guy, Charlie Smith, he's still working. He should be retired by now. He was a kind of a Milky Toast type of a guy. You know what I mean? Milky Toast, you know.
Right.
And he had a suggestion, a pour for the head, the bone machine head. And they were welded to be bent, and he could replace them two and three times a day, some of them. Well, he got a suggestion of a few changed more than one night on the line, you were unlucky. So you see the big saving there? What we used to do, we'd take that rod and weld it back and reinstall it. Well, gee, that takes time, two and three a night, some machines, or a ship, rather. So I chewed Charlie out, but He was that type of guy. He wouldn't follow it up. No, I think the labor is worthy of his hire. Myself, and a guy has got a certain amount to himself, even though he's got a union. He should cooperate and go out to what he's entitled to. Well, that's about it on safety right now.
Do you foresee, or do you think that the 4-day weekend will ever come about?
There's been several suggestions I read in the press. I like to read the stuff in the press. Some kind of bottling company, they kind of alternate the shifts and things like that. I don't know. Naturally, the union's going to demand 5 days' pay for 4 days' work, as you know.
It almost seems that.
I don't know. It's.
I don't think so. General Motors can operate on a 4-day weekend.
No. But they could have alternate shifts. That's one reason right now for our unemployment. GM, as you know, would sooner pay overtime than hire the necessary people. It's a fact. And they claim they're better off. Well, we know they are. But by the same token, they're not relieving the unemployment situation. Of course, GM is not solely responsible for that. Nixon's the boy that's responsible for that, in my book. So, I don't know whether it'll come about or not. I can't give you an answer, a concrete answer on that. It would be nice.
Mr. Dillon, is there anything further you would like to expound on that's your own personal interest or experience that you would like to...
Well, as far as working a long time, doggone, I worked at Dodge Brothers 3 times in Detroit. And used to work 10 hours a night. I was in the courtroom there too. And I'd go home. I was boarding it the first time I was down there. And I'd stick my arms out of bed. Oh boy. Well, that pain never go away. Your muscles are sore and tired. Now at that time, got paid in cash in those days. 1926 when I came out of service. Out of the Coast Guard. And they finally paid a 10% bonus. But if you didn't come in one night, you lost it. Alright, you took a night off, you lost it. So the wife had an uncle. She wasn't in Canada yet even. She had an uncle that I was living with when I first came to Saginaw. And he was a cupola man. So I told him I'd get him a job at Dodge Brothers. So he came down, I lost a day's work to set him up and everything like that. Well, he was used to a jobbing shop, not production. He was an old country cupola man. He knew his business, but he never worked under those conditions. And next day he went back to Saginaw. So he knew what was what. He finally worked. He worked at the graphite at the time. I guess they took him back. He died over there. I think he died of silicosis. He was in the battle room, you know, and that doggone graphite got his lungs. And his wife, of course, Social Security hadn't started too long. I don't believe he had enough time for her to receive any money. But that was one experience I had. Yeah, I worked there 3 times. Last time I worked half a day. But to show you, I'll give you an example of seniority and how it worked. I went to Dodge Brothers, all dressed up, looking for a job. And guys were walking out of the courtroom being laid off, and they took me on for some reason. Why, I don't know.
That's interesting.
I got a job. Another experience, while I was laid off at Chrysler Body. I worked in the shop, Copeland Products. They made the first refrigerator under $100. It was $99.99, I believe. So, I was all dressed up, you know, I was taking it easy, and the guy, I go out of the office, and I brought a guy down from upstairs, he's a foreman, he says, can you solder? I said, no, I can dance and learn. He took me upstairs and put me on this Nargon soldering job. That was the conditions you had. And me like a damn fool, I learned the thing pretty fast. And they had a group bonus system there, the same as we had on the Chryslers. And they'd never made any bonus in the group I belonged to. And I started working like I normally would. I don't shirk a job. And finally I was making a bonus for the whole doggone group. So they kind of taught me a lesson. But we had a group bonus system over at Chrysler Body. And that's one of the worst systems known, I think, because you get a couple of laggers in the group that lay down, that's your bonus is shot. Of course, I'm glad that system is more or less outlawed, I believe. Mm-hmm. But that was a good gimmick. You're putting one person against another, which is not good. Yeah, I worked at Chrysler Body on the Plymouth, the original Plymouth. Got laid off there. I went over to what's the name of the plant now? I can't recall it. Anyway, they made bodies, and the system was as good as Chrysler's, but they seemed to put out more production. They had a line, plug-in line and everything. I was trying to recall the name of the plant. I was there for a short while, and then they started the Dodge Victory 6. It was supposed to be the first all-metal body. And they did have the top had a piece of chicken wire, wooden frame, and all the rest was metal. There I learned a little safety habit. Not safety, a little round valve safety. In those days, you didn't have to wear safety shoes. And I dropped a steel panel, so I was inserting, and it just went right to my shoe and just missed that big toe. So I was always... The same with the glasses. I wore safety glasses way before they made it mandatory. I could see the necessity for it, because anything can fly out from somewhere, a piece of metal, and your eyesight is shot. I was very careful on safety myself, or tried to be. Of course, I wasn't careful enough when I fell down the grade. But for instance, I slipped up on.
Is there anything more you would like to add, or?
Pardon?
Is there anything more you would like to add or expound on it?
That's about what I can think of that sticks in my mind yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then.
One very important one. When I sighed down the Chevrolet, I don't know if I told you this last night. Mm-hmm. I went in the courtroom and phoned for me to work on Pontiac intake manifold, I think it was. So I, naturally being a motorist experienced coal maker, I didn't like the sand. I didn't think it was the right composition. So I walked down the end of the shop. I saw the foreman down there, and there was a guardrail there, but I didn't notice any chain or anything like that. And all of a sudden, I looked down there in that trench, and I see a movement. And boy, I was just on the point of stepping down there to step the other side of the trench. Doggone sand mixer. Somebody left the doggone chain off my first day in the plant. Boy, that could have... They might have found my shoes. Boy, I've thought about it ever since. That actually happened. Because I was a little dumb in a way for not realizing that, because first time I'd worked in that plant, didn't know what the setup was. Because the Malvolat that time, the mixes were all above ground, but this is underground. And naturally, the doggone safety chain was supposed to be faster. People working there knew that. But they let it down, and I thought, well, it's a little wide to jump over the other side. I'll step down here, and I'll step up. And I just see a little bit of movement, and it suddenly struck me that must be a doggone sand mixer. So you can imagine what would have happened now.
You mean your foreman didn't tell you ahead of time about this
precaution? No. I didn't know a darn thing about it. My first day in that shop. See, I'd worked in the other part, in the old coal room, and this was new coal room. Even in the old shop, the mixer was above ground. I didn't realize that they had them below there. See, that was what was known at that time. I don't know what it is now. They have other new coal rooms. But that was a new coal room. It would have been an old one for me if I had stepped down there, I believe. But that actually happened. No sign, no chain up, no nothing. And in my younger days, I was a harem scum guy. I just want to get things done, you know. Get the job and get it over with. Or get at it. So, those things do happen.
Mr. Delaney, is there... I know, as far as being a union man, that you're basically one-sided, naturally, because you're an employee.
I don't get it. Go ahead. I'll see what your question is. Maybe I can do better without these. Go ahead.
As far as the union, do you see anything in the union that might be a little bit... asking too much currently? I know at that time the conditions
were
bad.
Well, I think
as of right now is.
I see what you mean. I think, as far as I'm concerned, at the time, and the ends justify the means. As a matter of fact, we're accused of having a god. I was never on that. I don't consider myself a goon, but certain characters were involved. The same as you now have of the black question. The end justifies the means, but they have got in the black question, I think, certain individuals. But we are grown up now. We've matured. But you still have to take certain strong measures to gain your ends or get somewhere near the end. That's true. I agree with you there. There are instances where we're a little too militant. Well, I don't say we're too militant, but we could ease up on certain things, yes. Mm-hmm. That's true. First time I ever admitted anything like that, frankly.
Okay. Well, Mr. Laney, thank you very much for the interview.
Well,
I hope I was interesting talking about
you. I appreciate your interest and... Anytime, if you want, if there's anything else I can assist you, help you in any questions, you
right,
drop me a
right.
line and